I want to believe that most people sort of know that they will put their parents in the ground. Like, there's this understanding that because your parents gave birth to you, they will die. So at some level, I think at some point, I don't know, 20s, teenage years, whatever, maybe if you get like a health scare or something happens, you know, the moment you understand the idea of death, the moment you understand that that's a thing, then you sort of know. Some people are afraid of the idea. Some people don't want to talk about it. Some people just ignore it. But you know that, you know what? One day my dad will die. One day my mom will die. And I'll have to deal with it. But I think most people don't usually get to think about what happens laterally, like siblings. And even if you come down to siblings, I think there's a level of that where it's like, well, my older brother is older than me, so technically if he gets older than me, then he'll probably die of old age before me. You know? But then there's the other part, which is what part of what I want to talk about today, which is now my new reality, which is when you lose a younger sibling. Thought about this video. Thought about making it next year. I thought about scripting it, outlining it, like just trying to say what I really want to say. And the more I thought about it, the less I was able to actually figure out what I wanted to say. But I also knew that if I don't make this video, I won't be able to make the next videos. I set up like my recording thing to film some tweets into TikTok videos and shorts, but I just couldn't, because the videos did, like, the videos, the things that I wrote are things that I actually believe in, like personal development and moving on and things like that. But there was this ball, this spot that I needed to address. Like, if I don't talk about this thing, I cannot move past it. And the last time I did something like that on my channel, it was about my divorce. And I felt very similar. If I don't talk about this thing, I don't move past it. And when I talked about it, one thing that I didn't bring up is that it brought me issues with my ex-wife. And I took down that video. And I took down every other video that had to do with relationships. That was a result of the conversation I had with her after that particular video was on. And to be completely honest with you, that was one of those experiences in my life that made me see parts of me that I didn't know I had. And what I'm going to talk about today, the three things actually I need to talk about. I don't even know if I'll talk about all the three things. I don't know if I'll talk about one. I don't know how long this video is going to be honest. But I don't want it to be that long, because as much as I'm making it for myself, I really want anybody who is watching this, who actually cares about me, to understand where I've been and what I've been up to for the past 2-3 months. And also, especially for someone who is dealing with a very tough time, like someone who is in the middle of things falling apart. Because sometimes we see the videos of people who tell you what they were doing and what they had done. There are very few people. There are a couple of them, actually. But it's rare to find the stories of people who've been bankrupt and they've documented the journey of losing everything. I know someone like Alex Omozi has made videos about, you know, when he was still in that stage in his life. But that's business. It's a level of emotional detachment to business, which I don't think is very valid, because you put a lot of money somewhere, it's still very emotionally attaching. But what I'm trying to say is that it's difficult. I've not come across people who actually talk about them being in the middle of things, them struggling with the difficulties. For example, while in the middle of a breakup and actually talking about it, not when you have gone through it and then you talk about what you learned, how you went through it, and you're encouraging people, you'll be okay. Like, I've hardly seen people who are in the middle of it. Right, I'm in the middle of a bunch of things. And I'm filming this video on the 23rd of October, but I don't think I'll post it until the 25th, because the 24th is my younger sister's birthday. And for context, I am the first of four children. And my younger sister, the third, died in September 19th, which is September 20th. Well, it was already 20th in Cameroon. And her death has brought up so many things for me to the surface. It's brought up so many things that, not things I was running away from, but things I never thought I would really address. which leads to the disappointment part of things. Because the three things I want to talk about in this video was death, disappointment, and decisions. I don't just end decisions because for whatever reason, my brain almost always tries to look for the positive. Even as I'm talking about this right now, I'm like, Kanka, you look so lame. And why are you talking about these problems on the internet? Haven't you heard what happens when you talk about your problems on the internet? The people are happy about it. People are talking about you. People are excited, actually, that this is happening. Because my experience so far with a lot of things that have happened for the past 5 years since I moved to the US, got married, got divorced, is that people aren't usually what they seem to be. People aren't usually what they seem to be. And that particular feeling has been exposed multiple times throughout the past couple of months. My sister was diagnosed with breast cancer at the start of July, end of June. And my sister decided that she wasn't going to go through chemo. She was in Cameroon, so it's not as if she had too many options, but there was fear and worry and nervousness and not knowing what to do. And I don't think it was handled very well, all of it. The moment my sister said that she wasn't going to do chemo, or she wasn't going to try to do chemo, and she decided to just do what she wanted to do with my mother, a lot of things went wrong. There was things that I don't even think I can talk about because it's irrelevant. She's dead. But one thing that I figured out, one thing that I really took from this whole experience is how the lack of education and the lack of proper family dynamics can lead to a death. Like, I was thinking about, like, we really need to talk more about where do you find your information from? How do you educate yourself? How do you learn? And also the role of the family in the well-being of the human. Because if my parents had been on the same page about a lot of things, I feel like even if, and this is me feeling, and I feel because I have no evidence, but I think that, and I feel that my sister's experience and her last couple of weeks on this earth would have been so different. And so one of the things that I know that I'm going to talk about or write about is just the idea of people who get married for the wrong reasons. People who don't clarify their family values. People who don't date properly before they get married. And I say this because I have seen firsthand what happens when two people are not on the same page and the children suffer. Because there have been rumors about my dad and things that have been said about him that are totally untrue. I don't know about the rumors about my mother, but those are probably untrue. But rumors that make me see that these two people, they might have been together for 30 plus years, but there's just a lot that I don't know, a lot I'll never understand about marriage. But one thing that I know and that I understand is that when two people come together and give birth to a child, the child is their priority and should be their priority till they die. I don't care how much you like each other. I don't care what the other person has done. If two adults cannot come to the same page about serving their children, then they should never have been together in the first place. I don't care who is wrong, who is right, who has said what rumor you've heard, don't do it. That's personally one of the reasons why my divorce sucked, and I did not like the idea of getting divorced, I'm low-key happy that there was no children involved. Because part of the conversations that I had, and this is going over the place, it's probably going to go over the place for a bit, so if you get lost, it's not intentional, but I'm aware that's going to happen. And it's because, and the feelings I'm talking about, like all these things that are coming up due to this, like parent situation, rumors, and people saying things and people acting selfishly, it just made me realize how much you need to know who you can count on in your life. Because the death part of it, sitting and watching my younger sister, looking at all her pictures and seeing like 26-year-old young woman who wanted to get married, wanted to have kids, who built a makeup business, who went to school. She followed my footsteps and went to GMC in UB, was working as a marketing agent, as a marketing officer. She was a hustler. Like, my sister was the only person for the four of us, including me, who I would say, if you put her anywhere, she'll figure out a way to survive. That's who she was. That's who she was. So today is actually, 23rd. It's been a month since she died, since the 20th. And she was buried on October 4th, 15th, Saturday. The wake was 14, prayer as well was October 15. And I got time to think, and I got time to go through things, and I'm still going through those things because I am not even at the tip of whatever this is I'm supposed to understand about this whole thing. Like, there's nothing that makes sense about how she was diagnosed in July, in my September she's done. But then, because I know what happened, because I watched it happen, because I tried to help, and my help wasn't met with whatever it was. There's no explanation. Like, whatever I was saying now, she's dead. There's nothing. There's nothing I can say about it. And so, when I look at the whole surrounding event of her death and how lack of education, lack of family values, lack of the selflessness required to be a parent, and I look at other families where people haven't died, maybe yet, but people are suffering because two people cannot come to the same page for the children. Sucks, man. Sucks. And my sister is a victim of that, of a family that is broken by people who cannot see beyond themselves. And I'm saying this vaguely because I don't want to, they say don't air your dirty laundry in public. I'm already airing this. It's just at least let me keep some of the laundry. But the truth is many families are broken. Many families are broken, especially African families. I don't know about American families. I'm not American. Many African families are broken because one person usually, because it's hardly two people. One thing I noticed about this thing, and I really want to hammer on this so I can understand, is that it takes two people to fight. It takes two for a battle to occur. You know, like if you punch, if someone punches you and you don't punch back, that's a beating. If you are punching, that's a fight. And in my case, it's not a fight. It's one person who refused to do the right thing. And it may not be as black and white as one person refuses to do the black thing, but there's predominantly one person who is actively not acting right. And there's nothing I can do about it. My sister succumbed to cancer. And I may or may not talk about the details because it's really annoying, to be honest, about the whole thing. But that's just the first part of this whole conversation, which is the death. And I'm probably not going to let you rest out of it because losing a sister, losing someone close, changes your perspective about a lot of things. The things that I never understood about life, about myself, about relationships, about people, about the emotions that I had in me. The things that I never really thought about until I sat here by myself thinking about what I could have done differently. What did I do wrong? Thinking back to the way we were raised, thinking back to our childhood, thinking back to the issues my sister struggled with, thinking back to the difficulties she had and her demons. She had her own demons. My sister had her demons. She had demons from the way we were raised. And I still have my own demons. Because people talk about abuse, people talk about, you know, rough childhoods and things. And sometimes people who haven't suffered don't really get the benefit of the compassion or the sympathy of other people because there's no physical manifestation of your abuse. But I find myself now I talk to my brother and we see how much more we have in common in terms of the pain that we suffered growing up because the kind of parent that we had or have. I'm talking about past tense as if. But this death opened up the gateway to really see people for who they were. There were people in my family that I thought I was close with, people that I was cool with. I had this whole idea, this whole theory that take people as they come. Don't judge them because of who they're coming from, where they're coming from. But I had to revise that a little bit because sometimes, and one of the things that I really see now is people's actions speak more than their words. Yeah, don't listen to what people say. Listen to what they do. And death leading to disappointment is because I was very disheartened by the fact that the people that I thought were close to me were not present. And I'm going to give you a very specific example as I talk along because I think it's worth pointing it out. It's worth pointing out. My reason really is that at the back of my mind, and even with everything that's going on, I cannot help but want to see the end of it. Like to go through the tunnel, to go through difficulty, to go through the pain, to figure it out somehow. I cannot stay mad, sad, feeling bad for too long. I cannot stay depressed for too long because no matter how much I struggled for the past decade on the internet trying to create content, I can't give up. I just don't know how to give up. I could take 10 weeks off. I could take 3 months off. I could, whatever it is, I could go, but I can't give up because I know that there's a part of me that just keeps saying, come here, you're going to be okay. And I attribute that part to God. Like, for me, that's God telling me you're going to be fine. Like, yes, it sucks right now. Everything's a mess, but you're going to be fine. So I cannot help it. But one thing that really stood out, and it's both good and bad, is I thought I had friends, like people that would travel the world for me, people who would show up. And I never really thought about what that meant to have like a friend, what it meant to have support, like what it feels like to be supported. Because as someone who is much more introverted, I tend to like to do things by myself, be on my own. But then I open up to people that I know very well. So if I don't know you that much, I'm very aloof, very matter of fact, very direct, or at least just tell you what you need to know. But then the more time I spend with you, the more I can trust you and the more I can open up to you. And there are people like that in my life who I've opened up to. And people also that I hadn't opened up to, but I thought, we're close enough that you would, you know, do the thing that people do when people have lost someone, just be there for me. But one thing I realized, and this is to rephrase the whole frame, the one thing I realized is that people don't know how to deal with discomfort. People don't know how to support the people who in their lives who are having loss. It's like, we know how to celebrate. I mean, most people do, but we don't know how to mourn. We know how to give you kudos, like, good job, that's a great thing. We don't know how to be present and listen and provide emotional support and empathy. And it's surprising to me how all the terrible things people say in the name of trying to give you support. And I say terrible because I used to say those things, or at least I used to know that those things were wrong. So I at least said them. I tried to give like my own personal take about, like, you know, my condolences, sorry for your loss, be strong. Like, there's a whole bunch of things people say when you're talking to someone who's lost someone. And I think now that I've been in that position where I sit and get these messages and I get those phone calls, I'm like, don't say that. Don't. Just, or rather you say nothing. Or rather you say nothing than to say some of the things that people said. Because when I read all, and then, like, at one point, I was like, oh man, I feel bad for these people because they're in this position where they have to feel certain things that they probably don't feel. They have to communicate in a certain way. And our point is like, why would you say what you don't even believe in? Like, you don't even believe in what you just said. How do I know? I don't know. So don't ask me how I know that I don't believe in it. It's just, it sounds very disingenuous. I feel like when someone is actually honest, they don't have to find the words. And maybe that's an overstatement. Maybe I'm just assuming the best of human of mankind. But I think that people don't know how to be there for each other. It was a reminder for me and a very disappointing period for the people that I had around me that I thought were good people. Because I had questions, I was angry, I had emotions that I didn't even know how to process. People were like, yeah, go and get therapy. You need to get therapy. Of course I know I need to get therapy. Like, let me just give pro tip in terms of when you're talking to somebody who is a sensitive person, because I consider myself a sensitive person, don't tell them things that are obvious. When someone is dealing with a loss, don't tell them things that are obvious. When someone is, like, when you think of the most obvious thing to say, don't say it. Just throw it away and then find something else. Because my disappointment through all this whole process came from the fact that I was expecting a phone call from one specific person. And if I give any more clues, you probably know who I'm talking about. In fact, just by saying that, you probably know who I'm talking about. And that phone call didn't arrive. And I got like all these reasons why that phone call didn't arrive. I was like, bullshit. That's your reason for not calling somebody who just lost their sibling. And it's not like I needed the call. Anyway, I needed it. It's more like I thought we were human. I thought I had a pass for dealing with pain that you would probably relate to. Like, for me, the way I think about things in life is when I hear something has happened to someone, I tend to put myself in their shoes and think, like, if I were in this position, how would I feel? What would I need? And it may not work. People are different, 100%. But I think it's a great exercise to give you the vocabulary and the tools to approach how to assist somebody, how to help them. because people freak out, people panic, people freeze. Like, what? It's like, just put yourself, if I had lost my sister, what would I need to hear right now? And you know what to say. So the phone call I didn't get, which has still not arrived till today. I don't want to get any more at this point. I feel like it's already, statute of limitation that call is by, it's passed. But the more disappointing part for me, it's not a disappointment. Now it's more like, this is where I really want to paint the picture of how bad things are for me. Not so that you can feel bad for me. I honestly don't need sympathy at this point. It's more so you can understand that things can get bad and they can get worse, and you can still find a way to look at it from an angle that allows you to come out of strength. Because one thing that I haven't talked about on this channel is that ever since my divorce and the conversation I had with my ex-wife that made me take down the videos I'd made about divorce, I just, in a way, couldn't talk about relationships anymore. I just felt like I'm not qualified to talk about relationships. I need to work on my relationships. I need to figure out what I want. But one thing I didn't say, actually, which I'm going to say now, is that I actually got into a relationship about almost a year ago, this time, last year. No, like 10-ish months, 11-ish months ago. And the relationship was very, I guess it was organic how it started. It was a conversation that led to me liking this person and expressing my intent from the very beginning. This is still part of disappointment. And it's going to lead into the death conversation. Just bear with me. It's like story time inside whatever this is that I'm making. But anyway, met this person, traveled to the person's state. She traveled to my state. And from the very beginning, I was very clear on my intentions because I know what I'm looking for. I know what I want. And one thing that I'll say is that I had a lot of time to reflect from my marriage, to think about what didn't work out there, which if I had been given the time to actually work on it, I feel like I could have done it, which is what I've done actually. But long story short, we started dating and I moved to her state. Red flag, young man, young. I don't want to say don't move for somebody, but I was talking with a friend who said, I'm like, yeah, that was probably too early to move. But I think about it, I'm like, no, I wanted to move. I was going to move anyway. So I did. And for me, it was important for me to express my commitment to this person because I've reached a point in my life where I don't have time to waste. I'm not in a hurry to get old. I don't feel like I'm going to die, which is what most people don't feel, and then they die, like my sister. But I no longer kid myself about the things that I want. I know I want a family. I know this thing is important to me. I know I want kids, but I want kids in a family. Like, I don't want just kids. I also know that I am not exactly a simple person in terms of the way that I think, the way that I operate, my own issues that I've dealt with, that I continue to deal with, the kind of person that I connect to. When I look at the people that I have as friends I've had for the past 5-10 years, they are usually people of a certain kind of attitude. And I like to have those kind of attitudes. Properties in the person I'm with. There's some things that attract me to someone. And usually, if you're not smart enough, it's probably not going to work. But bottom line is, I moved. Carried my things from Colorado and moved for this relationship. I moved. And I spent a lot of time intentionally explaining myself. Because one of the things that my ex-wife complained about, which I took note of, was that I wasn't very expressive. And one thing that I very much believe in, and people who know me would know, is that I believe in self-improvement. If somebody points out something over and over and over, even if I don't think it's true, I will verify, I will check, I will talk with somebody else. And the moment I find out that, okay, this is something I need to work on, I will find a way to work on it. I will get help. I will read a book. I will take a course. I will do whatever it takes to work on that weakness to improve it. One of the things that my ex-wife talked about was that I didn't know how to express myself. If you're watching the video, you're like, wait, what? I mean, when you talk on YouTube videos, it's not the same thing as when you talk one-on-one. It's very different. It's emotions, it's facial expressions, it's context, all those things. So being able to talk on video, being able to write an article, doesn't necessarily translate to be able to communicate your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts with their partner. So it's not the same thing. So what I did in my relationship was that I expressed a lot of myself and talked about a lot of my history and where I was coming from, what I was thinking, where I thought about things, and also about what happened in my previous relationship. Because I think if someone is going to be with you, they need to know where you're coming from. They need to know what happened. They need to know what you did. Because we like to, it's another side branch. Whenever there's a breakup, if you hear the story of the ex or the person, usually your ex is never a good guy, or your ex never a good girl. Like, if you watch me, if you hear me talk about my ex, like, ah, yeah, she was the worst person on earth, and I'm the good guy, and she left me, and the world is a better place now. But the fact is that the two people, one person cannot be perfect. I'm not perfect. I did things that were not nice. Now, how you handle those things is different. But anyway, so I told the story to the best of my ability to talk about my own defaults, my own defects, and it seemed to be going well. Until a couple of months ago, when a couple of things started happening that I started calling out, and where I also started acting weird, and not even weird, I started acting, now I look back, I'm like, there are things that kept coming up over and over that I kept bringing up because they were bothering me, and I thought I could find a different way to say the same thing, but anyway, September 19, my sister dies, and so my girlfriend at the time comes here, we hang out for a bit, and of course, I mean, I'm a mess. Like, I think I'm still a mess right now, which is why I haven't seen any videos anyway for a while. But she was here doing the whole process, and she tried to cheer me up the best way she could. But even before that, and doing that, we had some weird fights that, personally, I don't think those fights were necessary because I was going through a lot of emotions. One of the things that I'm learning about grieving is that even the person who's grieving themselves doesn't know what the hell's going on. The things that you talk about, things that you think about. But for me, it really was anger. I was very angry. I was very angry, which I think was just a covering for my sadness, for the loss, for the disappointment that I had, and for my sister who would never, ever have the children that she wanted to have, who would never have the business she wanted to have, who was born in Cameroon and died in Cameroon. I was very angry, and I'm still very angry right now. And then I sit and think about her, and I just start crying, because it doesn't make sense how she passed. And it's really because she had a very painful passing. And I'm saying this because when she was diagnosed, talked to the doctor, two doctors actually, brought them for a conversation, talked with the whole family. Here's what we think we should do. The doctor said, here's the path. Here's what you need to do to help this child. The doctor said, and my sister was like, hell no, I'm not doing that. And my mom said nothing. My dad was like, you need to do this. So I'm like, nope, I am not doing it. So when I think back to the whole process, which, by the way, during this process, my ex, because that's where this story is leading to, my girlfriend watched this whole process, saw this whole dynamic, was present throughout most of it, if not all of it. I spent my sister's funeral on the 15th by myself, because the day before I got so angry, I told my girlfriend to leave, because I did not feel like she was in any way listening, in any way empathetic. And so the next day, she didn't show up. I tried to call, she didn't pick. And that day, that Sunday, was one of the few days in my life. It reminded me so much of the 2 weeks I spent after my divorce, where it's like, the way my brain imagined the whole thing is, imagine you're the last person on earth. Where you're the only person on earth, where you're in this universe, this wide space, this glorious scenery, big buildings, the sun is shining outside, there's animals, there's birds, but there's no other person. It's just you. On Sunday, I tried to find somebody to be with. I needed somebody who I knew cared about me, not just some person in a coffee shop. I needed someone to just be there. Because I couldn't make the trip to Cameroon due to immigration issues. I had spent the past week designing the flyers for my sister's funeral. So I was looking at my sister's face every day, watching her videos every day for like weeks, talking to people who were trying to console me and saying all the wrong things. And trying to work, because this is America. And I was angry. And I was going through a lot of emotions. So I spent Sunday alone. Spent Saturday, I think. No, Friday was the because I took 3 days off from work. I couldn't work. I could work, but I couldn't because I couldn't stop thinking about what could have been done differently. My parents were on the same page. What could have been different? My sister just listened. But Saturday, she didn't show up. I went to her house, she wasn't there. And then on Sunday, she said she needed a break. So that's really, my sister was pretty, this is why I want to tell this story, because if by some magic I don't get to take this video down because my ex called and was like, oh, you look like you accused me of, listen, I'm not taking any video down anymore. I'm tired of people censoring me for my life. Because you know what, guess what? If when I die tomorrow or in a couple of weeks or in a couple of years, people will be like, oh my God, I'm so sad. And after 2 weeks, the only people will be left to remember me are my siblings. So screw that. But anyway, on Sunday, she asked for a break. And I was annoyed. And I was like, nah, I'm not doing breaks, man. I'm doing breaks. Let's just break up. And then after a while, I was like, okay, maybe we can make this one. We could take a break, find something. I had this moment of weakness. I want to call it, where I really needed somebody in my life because I'm in this new state. She's the only person that I know. We've been having all these plans about all the things moving out and stuff. I was thinking of traveling. So part of me was just getting like, come God, what are you going to do now? You're just here alone. No, just try to make it work. So that same day when she said that, I tried to make it work. That was Sunday. So I slept that night and I thought about the whole situation. I thought about, especially, like, why couldn't you bloody wait? Why couldn't you wait? I mean, there's something. How this is, because here's what I know about people who break up, both men and women. I think mostly women. A woman doesn't break up with you the day you think she's breaking up with you. She's been thinking about it for weeks, maybe even months. In fact, maybe she's already had somebody in line before she's leaving you. And which, by the way, is what I think happened with my ex-wife. But that's a whole other story. But so on Sunday, she says the break. Sunday evening, we try to like talk about it. Monday, this is the part of disappointment, by the way. I still get to decisions, and this is going on. Monday morning, I wake up and I tell her, nah, bruh. Mm-mm. I'm not doing this whole break thing. I did not move states to come and become your friend. I did not move states to come and be doing a break. When there's an issue, we work it out. We figure it out. We get a counselor. We get a mentor. We get a book. We get a course. We work on the relationship. I know I am a difficult person. You are a difficult person too. We are all difficult people. Why? Because we all have inner rich worlds that hardly translates from the mind to the mouth. So communication is important. Understanding our values is important. I am a man of figuring things out. I don't do breaks. I don't do separations. If you're in, you're in, you're out, you're out. Which is why when I said that, I took my things and I left. Today is Sunday. It's last Sunday. No contact. But here's the interesting part, which is part of disappointments, which is part of, maybe some of them are going to watch this video and then they'll understand where I'm coming from, because some of this is like, I have a friend who'll be like, come God, don't do that, don't say this thing. But what I've realized about going through difficulty and going through tough times and people who actually succeed in life is that they have to deal with what they have to deal with. And one of the problems with African society, African communities, is that we hide things. We keep things. We hide our troubles. We hide our problems. We hide all the things. We hide our successes. We don't want anybody to see that we are bad. We don't want anybody to see that we're doing well. We hide until we die. And I have been struggling to hide things in my life because I've made videos that I've had my ex-wife call me and tell me that I was selfish and thinking that making this video without her permission was not fair. And I'm making this video now about my ex-girlfriend who could not wait. And I probably she's going to watch this video. Maybe she won't. If you're watching this video, oh man, I really want you to understand. You couldn't wait a month, a week for me to deal with my sister's passing. It couldn't just wait. It means I really had to be a terrible person to to be honest, for you to not be able to win. Anyway, but the part that is interesting for me, the part that I'm most disappointed in right now, is that the moment I left her house and I texted her one of her mentor, like older sister type figure, like, this is what's happened. Texted her sister, this is what's happened. Texted two of her friends, this is what's happened. And that was me, part of in my low-key weakness, like, let somebody talk sense into all of us. Let somebody bring all, okay, what happened? Can you clarify what you need? Can you work on this? That was me trying to get somebody else who was out of the whole situation to look into and say, okay, maybe instead of breaking, you can talk about this. You see, Kamga, she doesn't like this one thing. If you can work on it. You could have someone else, like an older person, like a mentor figure, talk some sense. Send the text messages. Three of them, actually, one of them hasn't written it down, which is like, for me, that's a clear sign that these people either, like, two hypotheses, either they didn't think this was serious, so it's like, it was bound to happen at some point, or she told them that it wasn't serious. But yeah, my disappointment came from the fact that I had to deal with this by myself mostly. And I had to, and that's not even the beginning of my disappointment. Like I told you at the beginning of this video, I'm still dealing with so many things that I'm yet to put my finger on. But the person I needed the most to be near me wasn't there. And one of the persons I needed to call didn't call. And one of the persons that I want to have in my life, I would never have a relationship with her again, I think, from my opinion. Like, one of the persons like who most people have relationship with don't. I'm doing that thing of Africans hiding things. Like, it's crazy how someone will watch this video and actually feel proud that this is happening to me. Like, feel happy that Kanga is suffering. Because there are people who do that. There are people who you share your troubles with them and you think they're sympathizing with you, but they're not. You think they're with you, but they're not on the same page. This period of my life, the past couple of months, has shown me that there are people who actually relish other people's suffering. There are people who watch you from a distance and you say things that are going on and they are happy that you're having a hard time. So on the one hand, I understand why people hide things. But on the other hand, I see the way my sister lived and the way she struggled and the way she died. And I'm just wondering, who would tell her story now? Who would talk about the things that only she knew, the difficulties that only she went through? We sit here now, we have this life. We're so proud of ourselves that we have life. But then somebody dies and we rethink everything. And then for one split second, for 1 week, we share all the statistics about love and care and life is short, live it now. Give your loved ones a hug. And then 2 weeks later, we're back to our normal lives. And for me, the experience that I had was that it wasn't even 2 weeks, it was the next day. My girlfriend was like, yo, let's take a break. I need a break. Granted, she has issues with me because of my way of thinking, my way of looking at the world, putting too much pressure. Like a lot of things that I wish we could actually talk about, not take a break. But reaching out to these people that I thought were close to her, who I thought would be able to help, just give me the validation I needed. Like, these people don't like you. Either they don't like you or they don't care about her that much, because I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. I know what I'm doing. I know, like, I'm the catch. I'm not saying this out of pride. Like, I've been through a lot. I know I still have work and I am more than happy and willing to work on what I need to work on with someone who is willing to work on what they need to work on. And I've never not said that. So I'll probably talk about this individually at some point in the future. Maybe I won't. But that was part of a disappointment, the conversation of people not being able to actually be present. My girlfriend essentially leaving me on the day after my sister's funeral. My friends and people that I knew in the past not reaching out to support me. And On the flip side of this, is a phone call. Actually, a couple of phone calls, because I can't talk about all the terrible things that happened. I make myself look like this bad person. When I talk about the good things that happened, I got a call. I got a call from someone I haven't spoken to in at least seven years. It was a very surprising call. Shocking, to be honest. It was from somebody that I was very close with, but we stopped talking. And mostly my fault, but then we just fell off and blocked each other on all social media. But he called. It was a very brief call. It wasn't a long conversation with like jokes and stuff. But to me, that call meant so much. Because where I am disappointed by people's ability to be human when it's necessary, that single call also gave me the hope that there are people who are human no matter what happens. It's like you can't have the bad without the good. You can't have the good without the bad. Because on the one hand, there are people who I expected phone calls. I expected people to take plane rides and come and hang out with me. I expected people to give me the leeway to be annoyed and frustrated and angry and just let me express myself. I didn't get that. But then on the other hand, I got a call from somebody that I never thought I would hear from again. And I also got another call. I'm going to call out this one. I'm going to call out this particular call because actually I'm going to call out two people. Leslie Mackenzie. Leslie is one of the few people whose relationship with me has been very weird. We've been friends for a long time, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I'm a friend with Leslie. And then some days she shows up in a way that I'm like, damn, we really are friends, aren't we? And I'm like, I don't think, like, I really want to have this relationship be as long as possible. Like, because of one particular call that I had with Leslie, at the beginning of that call, I could remember being very angry. And by the end of that call, I remember feeling heard. And that was something that I don't know how to teach. I don't know how it's something that I know how to do for other people when I'm not the one causing the problem. But I hardly have people do that for me. You know? Not like hardly. I have like, Ewe is one of them. Ewe carries the brunt of all my anger issues. But anyway, on the side where I have people disappointed the way they acted, the way they behaved, and the way they did things, on the other hand, I have people who actually showed up. Because it would not be fair for me to talk about how much this whole ordeal was carried by me alone and my family and how much I'm strong. I needed people. And I had people. I also needed people and they didn't show up. They left when I needed them the most. And as painful as that was, it's also empowering because for me to stay here on Sunday and watch videos of my sister being put in the ground and my brother carrying the coffin and my mom crying, my dad trying to be as stoic as possible and all this like from a distance, not being able to be there alone. Something changes when you have to go through difficulty like that. Something gets unlocked because the way I look at life, the way I look at death, the way I look at people, the way I look at decisions, it's like there's this new shine on things that I'm yet to discover. It's like the way I think about time. I feel like something is broken, but also something is being born. And I don't know how long it would take for it to come out, but it's still just the tip of the iceberg of the transformation that happens when someone that you knew and you were close with leaves. So the disappointment part of this conversation was very long, but I want to end with the decisions part of it. Decisions. Before I continue on to read from here, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Whenever something bad happens in my life, I tend to read this book. I haven't read it this time, but I wanted to open a couple of quotes to figure out a decision part. It's on page 74. The first part is Latin. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to do the English translation. Emotion, which is suffering, ceases to be suffering as soon as we form a clear and precise picture of it. And on page 75, down there's one part to just link to that, which is those who know how close the connection is between the state of mind of a man, his courage and hope, or lack of them and the state of immunity of his body would understand that its sudden loss of hope and courage can have a deadly effect. I say this because I got a tailbone injury. If you don't know what that is, you should Google it. It's very painful. I actually felt sick for like a day. It was weird. It's one of those like, something's just wrong with your body. It's like the physical manifestation of my state of mind. That was when I found out about my sister, like a couple of days after that. But then 4 days ago, I went to bed, sleeping just fine. And I woke up with a tailbone injury. It's the most painful, and I know pain. I've had 3 surgeries. I am very comfortable with pain. When I go to get injections, it prick me 1,000 times, and I'm watching. They're like, okay. I mean, I know that's not pain for some people. But this, I could not sit. I could not stand. I could not sit on the chair for more than 15 minutes. Standing was hard. It was very painful. Sitting was painful. Everything was just so much pain. I even had to miss some meetings at work. Yesterday, literally, on the day before yesterday, because I couldn't. I just couldn't. And I think it was linked to my working out and trying to like convert all this frustration into something. But then, decisions. With all what's going on, the mess that my family drama is, with me being in a new state by myself and having to figure out life, with the disappointment of the way my ex-girlfriend left, disappointment of the people that I thought that even if we were no longer talking, they would show up. And also the people who showed up when I did not expect them to show up, the messages, overflowing support, financial support from people who I don't know, people who keep checking on me. I even have a friend, Amy, who herself was having a hard time. I only found out recently. She kept checking on me every day in her own way. And I remember being annoyed because I was like, why are you doing this? But then today I was like, okay, let me ask her how she's doing. And then she's like, yeah, actually, she's not been well for months. And I was like, damn, I'm sitting here minimizing your support for me, whereas you are going through a tough time yourself and still finding the time to reach out to me. You know, all these things, all these conversations, and hopefully you've watched it to the end, because anybody who stops watching this will probably think that I'm an asshole who hates everybody. But I really think that as much as I've people that I should not trust have been exposed, and people that I should just move on from have been exposed throughout this whole process, I also see that there's a lot of love people have. Yeah, people who care, people who want the best for you. But I cannot say this without saying there are people who think they care. There are people who think they are good people, but they are not. Because their actions would speak. Their actions will speak for themselves. And it is moments like this, moments when you're down, like last Sunday, like when my ex-wife asked for a divorce, and I was like, damn, should I go back to Cameroon? What the hell am I going to do now? It's moments like this that I live for. Not like I look forward to them. It's more like, these are the times when I get to have like a key point in my life where from this point, I can choose where I want to go. It can happen anytime. You can wake up in the morning and decide you don't like your job, start planning for an exit point. You can wake up and decide you don't like your relationship. But life has a way of giving these gifts of sorrow, of pain, of frustration, of disappointment. The gift of disappointment, the gift of pain allows you to tap into your human instinct of survival. And whatever you do from that point on, you can always look back and be like, this is when I decided to become the person I am now. This is like, when I look back to the time when my ex-wife asked for a separation and then eventually asked for a divorce and the way the thing ended, I can literally see from that moment till about a year, and I can see how I was transformed by this act of betrayal. I went into a whole different, like, I changed jobs, gain more skills, gain more understanding of this country, gain better standing as an immigrant. Like, so many things happened to them, and now, and I'm looking at this point, and I'm like, Kamga, there is no way 1 year from now you will not look back to this time and be grateful for all these people who actually betrayed you. there is no way you look back and not be grateful for all the pain that you received and all the loneliness that you felt at this point in time. That's where the decisions come to play. Because it's like, yes, this is what people have done. They've not called, they've not done anything. Come on, what are you going to do? What are you going to do from here on? Your sister is dead. You cannot bring her back. You're probably traumatized. You probably need to talk to a therapist. What are you going to do? Death, disappointments, and decisions. I turned 33 next year, February. And I never thought that at this point in my life, I would still try to figure out who I'm going to be with, still try to figure out when I'm going to have my first child, still try to figure out a bunch of things. Especially did not believe that I would never see my sister again, because the last time I saw my sister was at the airport in June of 2018. The next time I see her, it will be at her grave. I never thought that was going to happen. That's life. We think we have a long time. We assume people are going to be there forever. And then they're not. So, I'm still dealing with a lot. And I'm lucky that I have people that I can call, people that I can talk to. Sunday, I really wanted physical presence. I didn't get that. So, I think I've unlocked a new level of survival, where it's like not needing human presence or something. It's like a new power. But it was tough, man. And it still is tough. And I'm low-key disappointed. I'm disappointed. Like, yeah, I'm disappointed. But I'm also grateful. Like, I have both these emotions at the same time. I feel terribly disappointed by people's actions, people's behaviors. And I'm also grateful by other people's actions and behaviors. But especially, one of the things that I've been thinking about very much, like one of the phrases that I probably need to get a t-shirt on, is like, not your victim. Not your victim. Because there were people when my divorce happened that I thought they were going to call and try to find out from me what happened, try to understand my side of the story. People that I thought would be like, you screwed up, but I care about you as a human being and I hope you're okay. People that I thought would be like, hey, listen, we're no longer a family, but I hope you're okay. And I never got that. And I don't think I ever will. But the beautiful thing about life, one thing that I love and what makes me sleep at night, is that I know that I will always do my best no matter the circumstances, and that I will never give up. I'm nobody's victim, and I will never give up. Only God will take me from here. Hopefully he doesn't use one of you. But so I may or may not talk about this in the future. But I'm going to try to talk more about like the reality of some of these secrets that we hide about relationships, about divorces, about dating. Some of these stigmas that we have about how people show up in your life and then they actually don't want to be there. But you think they are, but they're not. And also how I messed up, because I see many issues where things that I said I shouldn't have said, things that I did that I shouldn't have done. But most especially, I would never regret being clear with my intentions from the very beginning. That's one thing that I cannot take back. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I did not try to fool anybody's child, because my father would not be proud. So yeah, that was today's conversation / rant. If you want to stay in touch, there is a link to my newsletter. Yeah.